Good morning, church, and welcome to Crossroads. I'm going to start saying it like that. Welcome to Crossroads, because Crossroads isn't the church, right? It's you. So good morning, church, and welcome to Crossroads. I hope, starting off with a baptism, some worship in the Lord, and hearing from Scripture is going to be your jam this season, and that it stays that way, and it's something that you should expect, because I have started asking God for something, and I hope He does exceedingly abundantly more than I could ever ask for. I'd like a new believer every week. Every week. Sitting where we sit in a city this size, there's no reason we can't unless you stop talking. It's the only reason. There are so many people around us that need Jesus, and let's be honest, we need to hear new believers declare from a baptismal that He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm so excited about that. Children, you guys are dismissed to Children's Church. I bamboozled my kids with it this morning because I forgot again. I know. That's your job soon. We'll get to him in a minute. Kids, you guys are dismissed. And we are going to talk about direction, vision, planning, and what happens now. Before we do that, if you don't know, we've imported another family here to come and do youth and children's ministries. So I'm going to ask Blaine and Tori Lindsay to come stand up here with me, or at least down here with me, so that you guys can officially see their faces. And then I'm going to invite all of you, anyone who wishes to come down and put your mitts on them, and we're going to pray over them. So if you'd like to, now's a good time to move. If not, I'll do it without you. But if you're interested, I'll wait. It is warm, buddy. You got to be sweating to death.
It's actually pretty nice. It's warm. Yeah? It's just fuzzy.
Well, the water's warm, so I'm sweating to death.
Yeah.
Come on down. So this is obviously an important thing for the life of the entire church, because their job is going to be to disciple everybody younger than them, which obviously holds some importance for me because I'm giving you mine, which I do not do lightly, and I'm going to be in your business. I hope you don't mind. But because of that, we're also going to pray that God will do what I cannot and what you can. So let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for relationships in Christ and letting us serve, even though we should not. There's not a person on the planet that has not sinned against you, and yet you still give us grace. And so we're grateful for that. We're grateful for a platform to serve and glorify your name alone, the only name given to men by which we must be saved. And so we pray for both Blaine and Tori that they would serve well, that they would serve each other well, that their family unit would be strong, that that baby would grow nice and healthy and be a joy to them and to us, but that he might see a new believer every week too, that you would grow the group that you've allowed him to have influence over, and that he would spend his time with you and in your word so that he influences them well. I pray for our church family that they would not forget they've just imported more children and that they belong to you to care for and to disciple and to support. We pray those things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, back to your seats. I'm going to start preaching at you. As you guys are going back to your seats, if you would open up to the book of Hebrews, we are going to be discussing what happens next, what happens now. We're in a brand new year together, and it's time for us to take another step. It's time for us to move again in another good direction and to push past what's normal, what's comfortable, and whatever is getting in the way of us having a new believer here every week. And there's obviously something, because I believe Jesus is willing. I believe the Spirit is out and teaching and convicting. The Word of God hasn't changed. It's available. So something about us has to shift, has to change, so that we make a larger impact in the area that we are, instead of being a flotation device, just barely surviving, hoping for either death or the rapture. I don't want that for us. I don't think you want that for us. I want us to be wildly active and excited across the globe, starting here, instead of just drifting in a cultural ocean, hoping to survive the torrent. I'm not even slightly interested in that. We need to go ahead and pick the anchor up, drop the sails, and plot a course so that we are actively moving in a good, godly direction that brings more people to Christ. What we have here is beautiful, but what we have in Christ is better. And so whatever it is he would do, I want us to do. For us to love others with the gospel, we have to have the same vision God does, we have to have the same plans he does, and we have to act the same way he does. So I've written down a list of we musts. These are my own thoughts. If you disagree with them, come see me during the week. I'd love to know why. So that maybe we can have a good conversation, so we can be like the early church, unified in all things, not just some. So bear with me. We must insert a call to corporate prayer in every worship service. I stand down here awkwardly in the morning and open it up at the end of the service and say, you can come up here if you want, but I want to be far more intentional than just that. I'd like to, maybe during the first or second song where we're worshiping, to come up here and pray. And I'm not talking about standing up here and praying. Use this as an altar, like we did at the end of the last year, putting yourself in a posture of submission and humility, knowing that you need God. Instead of coming and just singing the songs, let's come and pray together. And let's pray over each other. We must intentionally train all members to participate in discipleship. And discipleship isn't just teaching the Bible in a Sunday school class. It's a part. It's altering your daily routine and pattern for the sake of spending time with others, especially newer believers than you. That's discipleship. And in the meantime, you teach them Christ in your life. We have to, as a church, be intentional about that. It's not your day and your plans or your week or your job or your life. It's all his, every square inch of it. We must train, correct, encourage, and demand God's standards for leadership in this church. And so over the next couple of weeks, we're going to engage in a leadership mini-series where we go through what the standards are, what the expectation is, and why it's so important so that we grow together. I hold Blaine to a much higher standard. And I'm not talking about, oh, I love Blaine. He's the best thing since sliced bread. You're fine, Kat, but you understand that's not what I mean by that, right? And God holds all of your leaders in that light. He holds Mike that way. He holds me that way. He holds Chip that way. All of your elders, the leader of your deacon body who's now serving as a leader for all of them. There's an expectation that must be met or will never outpace our leadership. Never. We must evangelize on purpose. Train for it. Practice it. Expect it. Celebrate it. Every week, there should be a story of testimony, which is a we must testify of the goodness of God when we get together in this place to praise through public testimony on a normal basis. If not, then all of our daily lives end up getting in the way and we forget praise. We come and we do praise, but we don't necessarily praise with our whole self, if that makes sense. An expectation of being able to give something, bring something to the church, to worship and celebrate and lift each other up instead of just receiving something from the church, an opportunity to sing with each other as opposed to standing alone and giving glory to God on your own because he's good and he's worthy and he's worth it. We got to stop worrying about what this place looks like on a Sunday morning too. If you're interested in, and by the way, Chip, this is not a bag on you. Don't take it that way. If we're interested in presenting something professional, we might be missing the mark. We should be far more interested in whatever praise is. Orderly, yes, but praise still. We must make changes to our building to match the needs of the community around us. Not just what we want, not just our own programs. We must spend more time and more money spreading the gospel than we do on ourselves. We must beg for change through the Holy Spirit, according to God's will, for us to see any changes. Now, let's be honest. I don't mind awkward. I think you know that by now. And so I'm going to ask an honest question. And I want you to be honest. I'm actually going to ask you to be publicly honest. Nobody likes that? No amens? In this place, you're loved, you're equal, you're family, you're the righteousness of Christ, you're being built up as the temple, you are the body. So here's the honest question, which you should be able to be in front of all of you. When I read through that list of changes, how many of you did I lose? How many of you got grumpy? Be honest. If you got grumpy, raise your hand. No? No hands? So nobody's grumpy and all the changes are declared good. That's what I'm hearing. I'm giving you an opportunity. Okay. Here's another thing. We must be publicly honest. Or else everything we do is a private lie. We come and we worship and we celebrate and we sing praises and we read the word. And we have a good Sunday service, but then we get in the car, we go home, and we complain. Tell me I'm wrong. I won't ask how many weeks of the year you complain about something or someone here before you get to your house after getting in the car. And I'm not going to tell you how often I do it, because none of you raised your hand. It happens, though. What happens next with this church doesn't depend on your money. It doesn't depend on the time of the service. It doesn't depend on the location of the church. It doesn't depend on how we program our service. It does not depend on how we program other areas of the church with kids' ministries or not. The future of this church, not Crossroads. I believe the building would be here and succeed well beyond you. In fact, if we all died off today, some other religious group would come in and, I don't know, put a statue of Mary up or maybe teach some other doctrine you don't like. Crossroads is going to continue. This church, in order for us to continue, depends on you because you're the church. However pliable you are in Christ will greatly determine how far we get to serve him and establish his kingdom. I'm going to read a section of scripture. It's going to sound like a slam if you don't understand the relationship that Paul has with the group that he's teaching and writing this to. Albeit a little bit, he's saying, listen, you shouldn't be where you are. We should be somewhere else. But then there's this massive expectation and heartfelt desire and both faith and confidence in the Christ that they belong to, that who they are is who they need to be if they continue pressing towards Christ. Hebrews chapter 5 is where I'm going to read. Hebrews chapter 5. Over the next few weeks, we're going to focus on the Word of God for building leaders and embarking on missions and ministries according to the leadership of this place. Over the next few months, we're going to project mission trips, the elders of the church, ways for every member of the body to serve, our worship structure, our building usage, Crossroads school program, and family connections, and our hope for the immediate future of the church. And we're going to start in Hebrews chapter 5, and I'm going to read verse 12 through 14. I'm not telling you this is who you are. I don't even think this is who you are. I want you to evaluate on your own between you and the Holy Spirit this morning. Is this me? And if it is me, how can I press further into Christ and into his word so that I'm more effective for the kingdom? Because the expectation is that you're not just evangelizing because you live a good life and you're nice to people. That's something that the rest of the world ends up believing in. Something good will happen to me when I die because I'm a good person and I do good things. Evangelizing is spoken. Faith comes through hearing the word, not watching it. So let me read this to you. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you've come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Here's the best part of that section of scripture. It hurts your feelings at first, and then it gives you a massive amount of hope for what comes next. If all you see is, I got my feelings hurt, well, you need to go ahead and swallow that down. It's yummy. It's the word. It's going to help you. But if you don't have an expectation of good and excitement that follows reading that, well, then maybe just keep swallowing because you're going to get there and you're supposed to get there. Let me explain what I mean by this. This section of scripture is encouraging to us because I know the way Paul felt about the people he was writing about. And it continues to show you that as you go through chapter 6, the expectation. The reason this is encouraging is because time is no longer against us. It is now for us because we belong to Christ Jesus. We no longer have to dread time and eternity or the amount of time we have here versus how much we want here, because instead of looking forward to condemnation at the end of things when your life is over or you're judged by God, instead of that, you have the expectation of hope, the fulfillment of all the promises of Christ given to you in this life now before you get there and then made in perfection when you see him face to face. It's an encouraging thought that time isn't against you anymore and now it is in your favor. What I mean by that is Paul writes, for by this time you ought to be teachers. The expectation is that time is no longer just giving you a further opportunity to sin and fall farther away from God, but that in time you would continue to grow closer to God and be built up in the Holy Spirit and end up delivering something good to another human being over and over again. And as time goes, you're getting stronger. Imagine entering a battlefield with absolutely nothing on. You got no weapon, you got no clothes, and you got no armor. You are a baby just begging for some milk, which is the fact, the truth of the resurrection and the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the milk. This is how you enter the battlefield. You could stay that way, and you could go through every bit of battle that Christ has designed that's good for you to walk in before he laid the foundations of the earth with absolutely nothing on, just asking for some milk. Or as you go through the battle, you could pick up some clothes as you grow. You could become full grown and ready and able to wear the armor and to have the sword, to know the word, and no longer have to be behind the battle lines where everyone else who has pushed towards Christ is now full grown with their shield of faith in front of you while you're back here looking for some milk. Instead, you can join the line and we can push every single day. Push forward for the sake of Christ, delivering the gospel, loving other people well, revolving your life, your finances, your work, your time, everything around another human being in love, because as you just echoed, at Chip's prompting, for all. And so when you leave this place today, I want you to picture a bunch of little babies everywhere you go. And those are the ones that actually know Christ. The ones that don't know him are still in full armor and opposition on the other side of the field. And they don't even know it. And so you've got people who are in opposition of God, who need to hear the love and grace of God. And then you got all these little babies floating around that say they know who Jesus is, and yet they're still just as vulnerable as the day they met him. And if you believe you're spiritual, if you believe you know Scripture, if you believe you've got the doctrines worked out and you're wearing your armor and you're spiritually gifted, then you're obligated to go find a baby. Our nursery should be full. Should be full. It must happen. It's encouraging to know that time is now for us. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, "But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity." You step into that glory now until the day of eternity. You get to walk in that promise every day, getting a step closer. What an absolute blessing it is for us to know that God expects us to grow in him. That is huge. Every day towards eternity. No person is finished. No person is complete. Every person is growing according to God's design and his timing. And you have all the tools you need between this book and an indwelling Holy Spirit to grow. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, "Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation." We can understand a piece of that from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. It says, "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God." The place we start in this walk with Christ is an understanding that we need to repent. That sin has separated us from God, we're at war with him, and we need to be made right with Christ. And the only way this happens is through his shed blood. That's the beginning of where faith grows. And so desire that. Desire repentance and faith so that you may grow. And then expect growth as we continue on, that we may understand more than just salvation, not staying as newborns, being completely reborn and growing in faith. So here's the other part that's exciting to me. You get to know what's declared the oracles of God in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Something that most people never see, because they're either not looking for it or asking for it or seeking after it. They're rejecting the faith that God is trying to give them to respond to Christ. And so they never grow, but you get to know the mysteries. You get invited by God to come and let us reason together, says the Lord. Like you get to do that. And some of the things that you're meant to know, things that are meant to be made clear, if you continue on in Hebrews chapter 6 and in verse 2, the doctrines of baptism. Amen. We understand what that means. And it's a celebration unto God when we get to witness somebody stepping past the infant stage and into obedience. Where you at? Where's she at? Where's Jill? You got another piece of armor today. Congratulations. You're growing. Good job. We get to know what laying on of hands means. We did a part of that. Even if you don't fully understand what it means, you will soon. We get to understand the resurrection from the dead, some of which half of Jerusalem doesn't even get when Christ is standing there preaching it to them. You get to understand that. And of eternal judgment, so that you're not wasting time and time is no longer against you, but now for you instead. Because this is the will of God if he permits it for us. The reason this is exciting is because we get to focus all of our theological conversations, all of our evangelism, all of our efforts in this place around some of those simple truths. First, repentance and faith, then solid food. Understanding the mysteries, being able to seek and find, knock and it be opened, and ask and it be given to you. God's truth is hiding less today than it ever has in human history. And as we get closer to seeing him in full, it's hiding less than it ever has in human history. We get to see more than most other generations, because you get to watch God's promises being fulfilled every single day. You get to watch God's promises being fulfilled from the past. You get to read and reference and know the things that have already come to pass to build you up in faith for today, spreading the word of God a step closer to Jesus' return. Here's another part that's exciting to me in this section, though. Again, it seems like it's just bagging on people for not growing in Christ, and it's a little unsettling to the tummy when you start, but when you understand the excitement that comes with it, let me read this verse to you again. It's Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use has their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Reason of use is exciting to me. You get to grow based on what you do with your relationship with Christ. There's very little about your standing in Christ that has anything to do with you. Very little. But here's like 0.001%. Your growth, your understanding of the gospel, God's willing to give it to you, but you got to put just a little bit of effort in there so you know what the word is, and then he expects you to act on what you know. That's dependent on you. He's given you the urge, he's given you the Holy Spirit, he's convicting, he's leading, he's giving you the strength and the courage, giving you all the pieces you need. All you got to do is take a step and get it done. Not for the sake of works, it's not that, it's not dead works. We've already discussed that in this reading. We're not relaying a foundation of repentance from dead works. We're stepping into the goodness that God has given us to step into. When you read through this, you get discernment. You get to know the difference between good and evil. And there's an interesting thing that happens too, by the way, way back in the garden. The knowledge of good and evil was brought to the forefront, and they knew it full well. They understood what was good and what was bad. The discernment to make the decision wasn't used yet, but everything that follows, that's full discernment. That's right in their face. They have a crystal clear picture of what's good and what's evil. But now it's much darker because we don't know this as much as we should. And it's harder to discern what is good and what is evil. So much so that Paul is writing, if you would continue in learning about Christ and walking in his goodness, that you would be able to discern by having your senses exercised both good and evil. God was very near to them, and they could see it clearly. God is near to us, and we should be able to see it clearly, but discernment is starting to fail. It fell into false gods, it fell into false teachers, and things like speaking in tongues and laying on of hands become some sort of joke for the non-discerning, or a way for false prophets or fakes to prostitute the spirit of the Antichrist for the sake of financial gain and fooling all the babies. It's disgusting. And it's all stuff that we're supposed to know. If you've been in Christ for more than a week and nobody's discipled you and taught you and spent time with you and loved you so that you know a little bit more than just Jesus died and was resurrected for the sake of your sins and everyone else's, if you've gone a week and you don't know anything further, shame on us. Shame on us. And your 0.001%, shame on you. Keep looking for it. We must not become sluggish, as Hebrews 6, chapter 6, verse 12 says. Imitate those who by faith and patience inherit the promise. I'm going to read one more section, and my time's going to be done. I want to read a section of Hebrews chapter 6 to you, verse 9 through 12. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9 through 12. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. That's the joy part after giving them a little rumbly tumbly. For God is not unjust to forget your works and labor of love which you have shown towards his name, and that you've ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence in full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. That's where we are now. We've entered into a new year. Time is still a gift. It's not against you. It is now for you. We must be holy. We must invest in each other. We must hold leaders biblically accountable. We must stop pretending to love people while keeping silent about Jesus. We must speak the gospel, and we must decide as a church who we want to be. I know who I want to be. And so I'm going to put out a, hopefully an encouragement or a warning shot. Expect change. Expect training. Expect prayer. Expect evangelism. Expect to testify and expect to grow. If all of those things give you a rumbly tumbly, I might not be the right guy, because I think we're capable of so much. And I can't wait to see you grow. What you have and what you have done is brilliant and beautiful. But if you're satisfied with it, I want you to get hungry for some food again. The same way you would be if I kept you here till 12:30 and your Sunday school class went to 1:30. Get hungry for some food again. It doesn't take you long to want physical food. Don't let it take you long for you to want some spiritual food either, and to see God work. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your son, Jesus, first and foremost, that your spirit has taught us conviction, that we understand good and evil, that you have given us a knowledge of yourself and your holiness, and that in Christ we can be his righteousness. We can be declared holy and clean and pure to you, so that we might walk in the good works that you've laid out before us. Father, help us to do that. Give us the strength, the courage, the time, the energy, and maybe even just a little Pepto to settle that stomach when change isn't what we want. And Lord, there's change that I don't want. There's change that I don't like. But I know it needs to happen. As you lead us, help us do nothing but follow. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.